As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to One True Pod, the Athletics Big 12 podcast. I'm Max Olson. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Kersey and our new colleague, Sam Kahn Jr. Hello, fellas.
Hello. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Sam, you've been on the road again. Where you been?
I went to DFW, went and stopped in and visited Gary Patterson and TCU. And then that was on Tuesday. And Wednesday, I went to go see SMU and Sonny Dykes. And nice. Their staff. So been a busy week so far. Just got back last night and woke up and came on podcast with you guys.
You know, Max, I don't really think Sam is a new colleague anymore. It feels like he's been here forever, you know?
That's true. That's very nice of you to say. What's going on, Jason?
Oh, man. You know, spring football is over. A little time to relax a little bit, but we're about to hit this recruiting stretch. I think this June is going to be absolutely insane recruiting-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And OU's an interesting team. There's still a lot to talk and write about.
Yeah, I saw. You see, ESPN had them preseason or their post spring number one. I mean, the hype train is rolling away now.
that surprised
Spencer
me
Rattler, number one overall pick, which I've been saying for a while, but now everyone seems to be saying that. You know,
that part doesn't surprise me. But them number one, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying that's a bold pick. Who was that? Who did that for ESPN?
I don't know who did.
Was Sam, it Schlaybaugh?
Do you put that?
Schlaybaugh.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a believer. And that guy knows the dogs too. So I would have thought he'd put the dogs number one. But a lot of hype on these Sooners, man. That's gonna be a fun team to cover.
This is the year. This is the year for them. This is the most complete team they've had since Lincoln's been head coach, certainly, and maybe in 10 or 12 years, really. That, I mean, if they're ever going to make a run at it, this is the year to do it. Now, they still got to win one playoff game though before we can
win one. Crazy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, totally. Well, today we are talking about transfers, the big T. Everyone's talking about transfers these days because it's everywhere. Can't escape it. Absolutely can't. So, Jason,
well done. Well,
Jason,
done.
tell us how do you feel about transfers? What's your opinion on it?
I love the Always Sunny thing, and I especially love it because I just watched that episode a few days ago. So, right when you started saying the big T, I knew exactly where you were going with that. That's excellent, excellent job, Max.
What are my thoughts on it? Yeah, it's Max Big Break right there. That's a great one.
It's a great one. But what do I think about it? I think it's changed everything in the sport that we cover. That's what I think about it.
Yeah. Sam, I like the way that you put this the other day in sharing your Texas Tech State of the Program, the difference between the draft and free agency now in college football.
Yeah, I liken the draft is high school recruiting. It's you go get your 4 stars and your 5 stars and 3 stars. And that's your draft, your developmental guys. Some of them may be instant impact, but a lot of them will be developmental. And the transfer portal is now your free agency. If you're TCU, you lost TJ Stormont. he went to Texas Tech. So you went into the free agency, aka the transfer portal, and you went and got Obinna Easy from Memphis, and he's now your left tackle. So that this is a new way to build a roster. It's no more, we're not building teams for 4 and 5 years anymore. We're building rosters for 1 to 2 years because of the turnover. And now with the one-time transfer rule, that's going to be a year-to-year thing that you're going to have to remake your roster and figure it out. Now, not everybody's going to need it this way. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, they're probably still going to be able to get most of their players out
But they're in the market right now too. I mean, Alabama just took a wide receiver from Ohio State. Clemson has, you know, never taken transfers under Dabo and is now going to have to be open to doing that because they need a backup quarterback. I mean, Ohio State is trying to get Henry Tooto. So, like, it, you know, it's everybody has to, you know, chase it now. And you know, Easy is a great point that you mentioned because there's probably some coaches who would say, like, I remember talking with Cliff Kingsbury a few years ago when he was still at Texas Tech about, you know, they had connections to Joe Burrow. And he said, and I asked him, you know, why didn't you make the move there? And he said, you know, well, I wanted to be loyal to the guys we've got, you know, and nowadays, and you know, unfortunately, you can't really do that nowadays. Like TCU has young offensive tackles, but you know what? When a 6'8", 315 left tackle who has multi-years starting experience goes on the market and wants to come to your school, you're going to take them, you know, and you've got to make your, you got to make your team better however you can.
Absolutely. And the thing is people are decrying this and this is, oh, this is, the sky is falling. I don't think it's that bad of a deal.
No.
I like that the kids have options. They can move around and it fills a need. If you're a team that has a need, and again, those big programs you talked about, okay, those are like specific needs. Then you have a team like Texas Tech who they have a lot of needs. And so they have gone in the last 2 years and really hammered it because they were very young and he was trying to get them older.
Yeah.
Dana Holgorsen at Houston has done the same thing. Yep. Those types of schools that are either in the group of five or not in the top 20, 25 of the power five, those are the ones I think you're going to see have a larger percentage of guys coming out of the portal every year.
Matt Wells' staff has done it every year there. And like they just had, you know, Zach McPherson just turned into a day two pick. That's a kid they took from Penn State in their first year. You know, to me, part of this, and this is probably a little too ambitious to say, but you look at the Big 12 and their place in the playoff world, and obviously the playoff world's, you know, potentially about to change in the next few years here. But I mean, Jason, don't you think this can be a way, if you're not Texas and Oklahoma, this can be a way to catch up on the talent gap and at least put you in position to, you know, potentially, you know, go play for a Big 12 title?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's no doubt about it, but I also think that, you know, I love the analogy of, like you said, like Sam said, that the NFL draft versus free agency, because look at what Oklahoma has done. And that's one of the teams we're not even talking about here, but they brought in three guys from Tennessee who could all be starters, two of which who I think definitely will be starters. And then Key Lawrence could also be a starter. And, so they are looking at it very much from the let's build this one team right now and try to go win it. Cause those three guys, you know, could be the difference between OU actually competing for the national title and, you know, flaming out in the first round again or whatever, but totally, it can totally be a game changer. I mean, I think Tyler Shuck at Texas Tech is a good example of that. This was a good quarterback at Oregon who now is going to Texas
Tech. Won a Pac-12 title last year.
Yeah.
It's a great point. Let's start with Oklahoma. So the reason we're talking about this today is we just did, myself and Bruce Feldman, we did a post this week on The Athletic, in case anybody missed it, ranking the top 50 transfers for 2021, just based on who's going to be the most impactful this fall. Now that'll be, it's kind of a live list. We'll keep updating it as more guys go in the portal. And with the July 1 deadline, I think there are going to be a lot more guys to go in here over the next 2 months. It could get pretty crazy here. But we did the top 50. You know, it's kind of a hard thing to actually rank players from 1 to 50 in terms of the impact. But in talking with college coaches, both coaches of these players now and the previous coaches and stuff, the guy that ended up being number one on the list, we thought we'd end up putting a quarterback at the top, but the guy that ended up being number one was actually Eric Gray, the running back who transferred from Tennessee to Oklahoma. And You know, the praise on Eric Gray was, it's the same stuff you heard all spring, Jason, that the buzz is real with this guy. He is really, you know, he's technically kind of an all-purpose back, but man, he can do everything. I'm guessing you weren't surprised to see him, you know, get that kind of hype.
No. And then I got to see him in the spring game and I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's legit. This is a dude. I mean, he got hype all spring. I think one thing that is sort of inside baseball maybe, but the fact that Lincoln Riley let the media talk to Eric Gray, not once, but twice, that says that this is a guy that they not only expect to play, but it, you know, is someone that he trusts. I mean, they never let newcomers talk in the spring, especially. So, but yeah, he is going to be a really great and really interesting chess piece for Lincoln Riley to play with. Cause he can do things with him, you know, maybe similar to like a Joe Mixon or a Rodney Anderson sort of guy that can catch a lot of passes as well. I mean, those are the two guys that sort of come to mind when you think about all purpose backs that Lincoln has had. But the crazy thing is OU has back a two-time 1,000-yard rusher. Yeah. He just opted out last year, and all of a sudden, he's not the guy in the running back room anymore. Now, their running back depth is not great. That's one thing I have to say, especially after a certain running back may or may not have committed an armed robbery and is about to be kicked off the team. But when you look at the running back room now, they don't have much depth there. And Eric Gray and Kennedy Brooks are going to be the two guys. And I think right now between those two, Eric Gray's the better running back.
Yeah, that's part of it for Eric Gray is the opportunity here because Ramondre Stevenson goes off to the draft and gets selected. TJ Pledger, who got his chances last year, he did and didn't do a ton with them. Goes off to Utah to try.
He rushed for 100 yards twice.
TJ did
rush for 100 yards twice.
He did. But the difference when Stevenson came back was very noticeable. And then as you alluded to, Seth McGowan now in the portal, that guy is not coming back. So Eric Gray steps in at kind of a perfect time to get the ball a lot in this offense. And I just think he can do it all. You know, he has from the folks we talked to. Good hands, runs crisp routes, really good short area quickness and elusiveness. He's not quite like Joe Mixon level athlete, and he's not quite like the explosive runner that Oklahoma's had. But man, he can kind of do everything else, and as you said, enough leadership there that they trust him. So he's high up on that list. And then for Oklahoma, you know, I give a lot of credit to Lincoln Riley for saving spots because that's what you have to do these days. You only have so much room to do this. The fact that he saved spots to, you know, we didn't have Mike Woods on our list, but that to when you lose a Trajan Bridges to say, all right, let's go get a starting receiver from the SEC to plug into that spot is a big one. And then certainly, as you mentioned, Jason, you know, Wanye Morris and Key Lawrence, the coaches we talked to weren't quite as high on those guys. I think Wanye Morris, very, very talented, two-year starter right away in the SEC. If he can kind of get his focus right and really listen to Biedenbo and really kind of take it to the next level, definitely could be an elite tackle. But I'm curious what you think of just how those additions sort of shape this team.
Well, you know, Lincoln Riley called out the receivers at the beginning of spring because their OU receivers were not great last year. Marvin Mims had a big year. Theo Weiss put up some good numbers. They dropped a lot of passes last year, including two touchdowns. I think they dropped two touchdowns in the Iowa State loss. So, I mean, the receivers were not great last year. So, but the Mike Woods thing is a perfect.
Charleston Rambo's gone, who ended up real high on this list because they think he's going to be the number one receiver at Miami. There's a lot of hype around him, and hopefully he can get his career back on track.
It's kind of weird that never worked out for him at OU because he had some really big flashes. But the Mike Woods thing to me is indicative of this whole conversation. I mean, this guy catches a touchdown in Arkansas spring game and 5 days later has transferred to Oklahoma. Like, I think that's the perfect sign that this stuff is never over. This stuff is never over. I guess it could be over July 1st or whatever, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You know, everyone has needs. You don't know when they're going to pop up necessarily. But I remember talking with Lincoln a couple of years ago about the portal, and certainly they checked it every day and all that. But his take on it at the time, you know, early on when this was starting to blow up, was like, look, there's a reason why a lot of these kids are in the portal. When you really kind of narrow it down to the kids you'd be willing to take, it's kind of a small number. I think that's changed a little bit now, just in terms of the supply of good players that are out there. And certainly, you know, Oklahoma has done a good job of striking. Now, Sam, Texas has done a lot portal wise. Texas is bringing in a lot of guys. Same as Lincoln Riley, has saved a lot of room to fill up on their issues, and their issues are very obvious. They've got a problem at linebacker, and they've got a problem in terms of pass rushers. So what do you think of the moves they've made?
I think it speaks to the lack of depth, in particular the linebacker spot. Yeah. It speaks to the lack of depth that they have. You know, after Juwan Mitchell, you know, left and hit the transfer portal, he ended up at Tennessee. That was their best linebacker that was returning inside. And so they need some guys. So they went and took Devin Richardson from New Mexico State, and they took Ben Davis from Alabama. And I think I was talking to a buddy over at Alabama the other day, and he didn't see the field very much over at Alabama. So no. Certainly Sark has some familiarity with them. I mean, that helps, but if he wasn't seeing the field there, certainly it makes you wonder how desperate they are at that position. Certainly. And there were some guys, you know, David,
and I don't
Benda,
think they're done,
you know,
there too.
Spring.
I think they're going to try and take Gautiote from USC as well, which is a little bit more, he made our top 50. That's a little bit more of a touted get, but
yeah,
you're absolutely right. Between Ben Davis at Alabama and then the guys they've taken at pass rusher from LSU and Notre Dame are guys that weren't getting on the field there.
Yeah. And then the other spot I look, and it's not on defense, but I mean, they took Xavier Worthy, and that's a really good guy that you're taking. Yeah. You're taking a legitimate 4-star nationally ranked wide receiver. But that also speaks to me something that I think is lacking is speed at the receiver position. They do not have a bunch of game breakers. Josh Moore is a fast guy, and he's a guy that can stretch defense. But beyond him, I don't think there's anybody in that passing game that will stretch a defense or scare a defense. And Xavier Worthy is a, you know, 10-4, 10-5, 100-meter guy, so he could be that guy for them. This tells me they have a lot of needs, and I don't, like you said, Sark's not done yet. So this speaks to where the roster is and what they need.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Yeah, I probably botched that pronunciation of the linebacker from USC, but he's a pretty good one, one of the best available out there, and I think Texas seems like they're in good shape there. But it tells you, I mean, it's funny, you see people put Texas in preseason top 15s, top 20s, and stuff like that. We all sort of,
I don't know about that. I'm serious.
I agree.
I
wouldn't at this point in time, and I'm not saying Texas can't get really good under Sark in 2021, but I'm a little more wait and see on them as the, you know, supposed number three team in the Big 12 right now, because there's just still not, it's not just the unresolved quarterback battle, but there's just a lot of position groups where you're really interested to see how does this new staff attack it.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of question marks going into summer. That, like you said, they've got to shore up some of these spots, and they've got some guys coming back that have played and that have played well, but I don't see them as a preseason top 15 at this point. This nothing on that up and down that roster screams that to me at this point. Now, could they get there? Certainly they could. But also the way they looked in the spring game, and I realize that's a mixed up team. You know, you don't have your same guys playing with each other. But it left a little to be desired. There was, you know, like Casey Thompson, Hudson Card, they had some good moments, and they had some moments that were like, ooh, like they've got some growing to do. So it's very much a work in progress for Sark. And let's not forget, there's two reasons why a new coach comes in. It's either one, because one succeeded so well, he got a better job, or two, because the other one got fired and the Sark's coming into their latter circumstances. So that means there's work to be done.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In terms of just the Big 12 attacking the portal, I we mentioned this, Sam, but I think, you know, I think Texas Tech is kind of, you know, a model of how to get after it. This is something that this staff has done for 3 years. Now, some people can look at that and say, you know, that generally you want to build your to build a program, you want to build it off high school kids, but it's hard to get kids to Lubbock. That's just bottom line. And so they have, you know, we have one Texas Tech player on this top 50. That's Tyler Shuck. But I've heard good things about a bunch of them. TJ Stormont, I think, it steps in as a starter. They just officially added Reggie Pearson from Wisconsin. I think Marquise Waters from Duke. You know, very promising additions here. What was your sense from talking to their staff and doing state of the program about just what they've brought in and kind of where they're at roster-wise?
Yeah, they've brought in 21 transfers over the time that Matt Wells has come in. That's a lot.
That's a big number.
It is, and the last two classes have brought in about 7-8 apiece, and they're not done. They will add more, but
sure,
certainly the impact guys you mentioned, Chuck. I would be surprised if he wasn't the day one starter at quarterback. He looked really good. He's got a phenomenal amount of talent. I mean, the kid can make every throw. He's impressive physical talent. TJ Stormont, you would expect him to come in and start right away and shore up that left tackle spot. That gives them flexibility across the offensive line. And, you know, Stormont had a good season last year. So, I mean, he was an all Big 12 caliber guy. So that's a really good sign. And the one that I heard the most buzz about while I was in Lubbock was Marquise Waters.
Yeah.
That they think Marquise is going to come in and be an all Big 12 guy right away, an impact guy in that secondary. And then you mentioned Pearson, who they got from Wisconsin, who Pearson had a really good season in 2019, you know, before, you know, not playing last year. So I think, you know, Pearson could compete for a starting spot. Waters is going to plug and play. And Waters has the flexibility to – he can play corner, he can play safety, he can play nickel, so you can put him in any of those spots. And then you combine that with the experience they've got around the defense. They've got DeMarcus Fields is back, you know, and then they've got – in the linebacker room, they've got all top six of their guys in the two deep and linebacker. Colin Schooler's back, Rico Jeffers. I mean, they've got a ton of experience. Schooler's another guy. He was a transfer from last year. Tyree Wilson up front, transfer from last year. These are all guys, all these guys at Texas Tech are taking. These are guys that are starting. These are not guys that come in and they flame out and they go. No, these are all guys that are contributing or playing in a major part of the team so far.
And then the number of super seniors they have, it makes you think, all right, they're kind of in a place where this thing should start to turn. You
know? This is the year. I mean, this really is the year. If Texas Tech's going to make a big leap under Matt Wells, this is the year to do it. They've got 10, 11 of those super seniors. The funny thing is, I said this in the state of the program, it's strange to me that you go into a season feeling better about Texas Tech's defense than you do about their offense.
Yeah.
They've got a ton of talent back. They took a step forward on defense last year in conference play. They went from 10th in the league in yards per play defensively in conference play to fourth or fifth, I think it was. And so you bring all those guys back, so you feel really good about that. Offensively, you bring Sonny Cumbie in, so I think you feel good about Sonny because Sonny's a proven guy. He's from Texas Tech. He knows how to do offensive football. But the questions are, is Eric Ezekama going to be ready for the opener? Is Sir Roderick Thompson going to be ready for the opener? You know, what are we going to see from Tyler Shuck? Is he going to be consistent, or is there going to be some inconsistency like we saw at the end of the season last year at Oregon? Those are all questions that have to be answered before they hit the field in September against Houston.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned Obinna-Easy at TCU. That's another guy in our top 50. It's a big addition. And I'll also mention, you know, I don't know what the Memphis connection was for TCU, but to get him and to get TJ Carter, who, you know, it's not too often you find a 4-year starter at corner and say, all right, he'll play safety for us here at TCU. What have you heard about that addition, Sam?
If I trust anybody to do that with a defensive backup, 100%. Gary Patterson to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he could do it with a running back, and we'd say, yeah, that's going to work, you know?
Right. No, but, I mean, they got Noah Daniels and Hodges Thomason back. So they're fine, and they were banged up a little bit this spring, but they'll be back. They'll be ready to go. So they feel really good that they got two starting corners there. The safeties is where they need a spot because, you know, Trevon Merrick is gone or Darius Washington's gone. So you got to plug somebody in there. But Carter's gotten rave reviews. Actually visited with Gary Patterson on Tuesday, and you know, he said he was really impressed with how he's looked in the spring. Obinna-Easy, the offensive tackle, big guy, 6'8 guy, really moves well, physical guy. So both of those guys are impact guys that are coming and play right away. And I think they feel like they can win with them. They can rely on them.
Yeah. Another one I'll mention, and I'm sure when you visit with Baylor, this one name came up quite a bit, Sam, but Apu Ika from LSU, that guy is a monster. I know the LSU staff loved him when he came in. That's a big, big nose who, when LSU switched to a 4-3 under Bo Pelini, that kid said, this ain't the fit for me. And it was, I mean, you saw their defense and it clearly didn't work. So he goes to Baylor and gets to play nose. It just as we saw from Bravion Roy under Matt Rhule or Ray Lima at Iowa State, I think he's going to wreck some games. I think he's the hype on him. We put him really high on this list because he could be one of the Big 12's best defensive linemen right away. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on. The other team I wanted to mention is Kansas State because they, you know, like Texas Tech, they're kind of in an interesting position here in their rebuild. They had a setback in 2020 in losing five in a row to end it. And they've, you know, they've come around on this, that this is the way to do it. And you even heard Chris Kleiman, Gene Taylor said Chris Kleiman's strategy going forward is 8 to 10 transfers a year. What do you guys think when you hear that Kansas State trying to go for that many transfers a year?
I mean, I think that's what you have to do when you're Kansas State in this Big 12, like we were talking about earlier. I just think that this is the way it is now. And especially for those schools that struggle to recruit the upper tier talent. I mean, this is exactly what you have to do. I mean, you go get a guy like a Julius Brents from Iowa. I mean, that's a big addition for a Kansas State program. So I love it. And I will also say the other guy, and I know you haven't mentioned it yet, Max, but I also really like Amos at Iowa State. I mean, he's a guy that goes right in, is a multi-year starter at Villanova and they don't need much. Iowa State doesn't need much, but they needed that.
Right.
And they went and got it. So sorry to sort of veer the conversation there, but that's a guy I wanted to mention.
No, you're right. No, for where it's a great point for where Iowa State is at right now with bringing pretty much everybody back. If a guy like Jaquan Amos from Villanova can walk in the door and they think this guy's got a chance to be a starter, then hey, that's what this is all about, to save a couple spots just in case you can shore things up. And I've heard really good things about him. They think he has a chance to be a starter there and be really competitive. And that's, you know, even one little addition can really kind of complete the puzzle for you. Yeah. So K-State, you mentioned it, Julius Brents, have heard a lot of praise for him. He's a 6'3", 205 corner, which I'm curious to see kind of how he hangs against these small, fast Big 12 receivers when you're that big of a dude. But him, Timmy Horn from Charlotte at D tackle. I'm gonna botch this, but Josh Imatorbebe at tight end, Daniel, his brother Daniel, who's gone from Florida to USC to Illinois, now to Kansas State. They're loving him. And so this is how it is now, right? It doesn't matter where our kid's been. If he can help you in a spot, then he's worth it.
I was gonna say, you said that name that you didn't know how to pronounce with a ton of confidence. So I'm just going to go with that.
the thing that to your point, Max, about taking those transfers is, can't you talk about Kansas State? Where are they? They're in a similar position from a recruiting footprint standpoint as somebody like Texas Tech. It's not necessarily always the easiest to get there from, and they're not, Texas Tech is in a great recruiting state, whereas Kansas State, not as fertile a recruiting footprint as Texas. So those, again, are the programs that are going to have to take those kind of guys. And I think the thing that has gone unspoken in this a lot in the last year in this conversation is the impact of the dead period in high school recruiting.
I was just gonna go there. Yeah.
Because you cannot go see your quarterback throw live. You cannot go see your receiver or run routes or your DB cover live. But in the transfer portal, you can grade the level of competition that yeah. transfer is played against when you watch the college tape. And so you can trust that evaluation based on the level of competition if that transfer played, you can grade that, and you can trust that over trying to get a verified 40 time from a Nike combine from a high school kid and trying to get them to do a video pro day of the quarterback prospect that you're trying to.
It's a fantastic point. And I was just going to go there because it is, we are in a moment right now where taking the transfer is actually the less risky thing to do. Even if you only get 1 year, 2 year, 3 years out of the player, it's the less risky thing because you have actual game tape against FBS competition. And right now, I think you talk to coaches and there's a real nervousness about who are we taking out of high school right now? We didn't get to see their senior film, or they didn't play a senior year or whatever. We didn't get them in camp. We didn't get to go through the rigid evaluation process that we want to go through. And I know that's part of it for Lincoln Riley, right, Jason? That, look, we took the guys we have relationships with, that we feel good about the number that they took, and they took fewer than 20. But the more you take guys you're not sure about, especially, I think the other kind of unsaid part of that is you're taking kids, in the case of Oklahoma, Jason, who you know, they had their little get together in the summer where a bunch of them came out to Norman, right, and ended up committing. But you're taking some kids that have just never been in Norman, and they may get there and say, wait a minute, this ain't for me. This is not what I thought the college experience was going to be like. There's just going to be, I think, in this freshman class, and we've already seen it a bit, Sam, with like Shadrick Banks at A&M, there's going to be some big-time kids who just say, you know, I didn't think this college decision through quite right because I couldn't go visit places. Do you think that's part of it for Oklahoma, just that, hey, we want to get as good of players as we can get, but – we don't want to take a bunch of kids that are just going to transfer out.
Well, I mean, I look at a guy like OU signed a linebacker from Portland, Nathan Rollins Kabange. Yeah. He is from Oregon, had never been to Norman, Oklahoma in his life, signed with OU and spent the spring here. It sounds like it went okay, but I mean, who knows? He is so far from home in a place he's never
but
been.
But if it didn't go okay, you would say, yeah, that kind of makes sense. That's a hard transition to make. He has no idea what he's getting
into. So, I mean, in this year especially, Lincoln, OU only took 16 people in their signing class and then brought in, I think now with Mike Woods, they're up to 6 FBS transfers. Because like you said, you've got that tape. You can look at it. You can see what they got. As opposed to taking a risk on a guy, a high school guy. So, I mean, I've always sort of wondered if we're ever going to get to a point in this new world. Do you guys think that they'll start counting transfers in the recruiting rankings at some point?
They need to. I noticed 247 has started putting a star ranking and an evaluation on the transfers in this most recent class. And I do think I had that conversation with Matt Wells when I was in Lubbock, because he said, we're ranked last in the Big 12 recruiting rankings because we only have 11 high school commits in our 2021 class. But I brought in 8 transfers, and a lot of those guys, Tyler Shook, Marquise Waters, TJ Stormitz, are going to start. He goes, where do I get credit for that? Because those are guys that are part of our class, and they're impact players.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms or restrictions apply.
That's one thing you noticed that a couple of years ago doing State of the Program on West Virginia, and you looked at their teams and you said, well, the recruiting rankings are here, but the recruiting rankings are wrong because they're taking the David Sills of the world who become all Big 12 players, and you're not getting any credit for that, you know, in your recruiting ranking when that kid came back to them from junior college or from transferring back. Like, there's a lot of examples of that. And I think Dan Holgerson was kind of ahead of his time a little bit, Sam, in terms of the way that he, you know, bluntly said, hey, we can't win the Big 12 with high schoolers in this region. Let's go 50% transfers. I think that's, or I shouldn't say Sills is a bad example. Will Greer would be the example of taking a transfer that suddenly made your program a lot better. You're not getting that any credit for that in your recruiting rankings. I think that's got to change, don't you think, on 24/7? I think it's a great point, Jason.
I don't know how you do it, but I do think you need to do it. And
well, I think you have to kind of do what they've done, which is you have to regrade those guys because the 95, top 100 recruit who flamed out at a place is not worth the same, when he goes back into the portal.
Right. Absolutely. And the thing is, to this point, as we talk about taking percentages of transfers over high school guys, all of this is also a byproduct of this, the pressure and short cycle that we're in when it comes to coaching security. Yep. So Matt Wells is taking a lot of transfers also because guess what? After 2-4 win seasons, he's on the hot seat in year
they
three.
They need to get good.
It used to be that you were able to get the full recruiting class through, or at least close to it, before your job was at stake. Now, that's not really the case anymore. And the coaches' salaries have gotten so high that the pressure is on to win. And when push comes to shove and you know your job's on the line, are you going to take the risk on the high school kid? Or are you going to take the risk on this transfer who played FBS or Power 5 football, who I know probably can play?
It's a great point, and it's worth pointing out this is not how Matt Campbell built Iowa State. You know, they said we're going to go high school guys. We know what we're doing. We're in developing a 4 or 5 year, you know, 4 or 5 year guys. They didn't panic and rush to take a ton of transfers to make them look better than they really were. And so that's, you know, Matt Rhule, you know, built up Baylor. He took some really good transfers at the start of his program there, and that made a big difference. But it's a good point. I mean, and it'll be curious to see, you know, do you guys think Lance Leipold takes that approach with Kansas?
I think he's going to have to.
That's going to be fascinating to watch.
I think he's going to have to, right? I mean, I can't believe they haven't been taking transfers. It's ridiculous.
Well, and they're going to end up having so much attrition this offseason that I think you have to do it just to have starter level players.
Yeah, no, there's no question, because you've got to get experience. And the other thing is if you play too many young guys, you end up stunting their development to some extent. You end up getting guys hurt, and that sets your program back even further. So I think, again, I think there's enough guys out there that you can bring back and you can get there that will help you, you know, at least in the short term while you try to build up and do, if you want to go the Matt Campbell way, you can, but you need to bridge that gap. And the transfer portal is kind of the way to do it.
You know, it's just, you got to load up on mercenaries now. This is just where the sport's at. It honestly is. I did want to mention, you know, are there any other kind of sleeper guys you're keeping an eye on? You mentioned Jaquan Amos. I think Jalen Warren, the Utah State transfer going to Oklahoma State at running back, could be interesting depending on how that room kind of shakes out. I've heard good things about Charles Woods, the cornerback from Illinois State, who's going to West Virginia, and I think they also feel like the Penn State transfer they got is going to be a pretty good addition for them. But this is like kind of how it is. This is why we did this project, is because you just have to start to know these names, and they're just sort of these random guys that start to pop up places that, you know, could end up becoming all conference performers.
I'll give you one, Max, and it's not a Big 12 guy, but he was in the Big 12 footprint, and it's one of my favorites. I know it's one of your favorites, is Bailey Zappe from Houston Baptist, HBU, who went to Western Kentucky. I would have loved to have seen him at a Big 12 school after
Texas
I saw him
Tech
with the
fans,
Texas
maybe,
Tech.
That may sound familiar to Texas Tech fans, the name Bailey Zappe.
But no, that guy threw for a gazillion yards last year in 4 games. So no, that was fascinating to me. But it's been a wild cycle. And with the one-time transfer rule, it's not slowing down.
Well, and you know what? It's also worth pointing out on this top 50, there's a lot of guys on this list that left the Big 12 that were playing at Big 12 teams and are now elsewhere. And I think certainly you covered a few of them, Jason. Grant Calcaterra going to SMU. Tanner Mordecai easily could have made this list as well. You've got Alan Bowman trying to get a restart at Michigan, which will be interesting to see how that works out for him. I also think Keontae Ingram going to USC has a chance to really break out. And then Charlie Brewer is back. And is in really good shape there at Utah after the spring he had. So it'll be interesting to see too, like, could this go the other way where there's also some really high level talent that's leaving the Big 12 to go play at bigger places?
I'm rooting for Charlie Brewer. I really am. And I don't know him, never met him, never interviewed him, but I just have always kind of liked him. So I'm glad he landed in a place like Utah. He seems like that's a really good fit for him. So I'm certainly certainly looking forward to see how he does. Him and TJ Pledger, couple of Big 12 outcasts out in Utah. So
yeah, and they took the remember the quarterback from Duncanville, Sam. Why is his name escaping?
Jaquindon Jackson.
Jaquindon Jackson. Really interesting to see if he's got a future there. Another one, and this is just how the portal is now. So, you know, it's like one man's trash is another man's treasure with this deal. Like Jelani Woods, who I always thought was a really nice piece to Oklahoma State's offense as a big 6'7", 275-pound tight end. You've seen him a bunch, Jason. Like, there aren't a ton of like really elite tight ends in the Big 12. I thought this guy had – he didn't get a ton of targets, but was always a really interesting kind of chess piece offensively. He goes to Virginia, and Bronco Mendenhall calls him the brightest spot in our entire program. Like, this is – you never know. I mean, you do root for these kids ultimately to go to a spot where the person who adds them thinks like, oh my God, this is the best player we've got.
Yeah, no, he was a good player at Oklahoma State, and he played sort of that position that sort of, I think they call it cowboy back position at Oklahoma State. That's a extremely important position in that offense, but that was a funny quote. I remember sort of chuckling when I heard that, but good for him. Good for him, man.
I found it fascinating that Utah has become like the landing spot for former Texas college quarterbacks with Jaquindon Jackson and Cameron Rising and Charlie Brewer. It's been fascinating. Back to your point, Max, I wanted to talk about Ingram, Ingram. I agree with you on that. I really think he's got a chance to have a big year at USC, because let's not forget, the reason that he is gone is not talent. That was not an issue with Ingram. He was a productive back, fumbled the ball a couple times. Let's not be honest. Tom Herman threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
And that I have to imagine that was challenging on his psyche, that, you know, he fumbled at the goal line, but the way he got thrown under the bus, in my opinion, was not great. And I think that affected him.
Yeah, absolutely. He fumbles to lose the game at TCU. Now, obviously, if you watch that game, you know, Texas effed that game up in a bunch of different ways, not just at the goal line there at the end, but he takes the heat for that for a week. And then they go play at Oklahoma, and he fumbles on one of his first carries in that game. And you're just like, all right, we're not going to see this guy the rest of the year. And he also got banged up and had issues and stuff like that. But this is kind of the classic fresh start situation here. And there's going to be a lot of those stories, which I think is a good thing. I'm with you. The talent was not the issue there. Now, obviously, Bijan Robinson comes on, and you say, okay, you're not going to be the starter here anymore. But USC has. USC has a real Texas flavor now with adding Brian Carrington, Todd Orlando, Craig Kniver, Malcolm Epps. I mean, they are loading up here.
And the staff has got like 15 guys from state. It's a very Texas staff. So it is Texas West, basically.
I want to know.
Yeah, basically.
Before we're done with this conversation about transfers, I want to know, what do you guys think is going to happen when the first time, because you know it's going to happen eventually, when, as an example, please don't freak out, Kansas State fans. I'm not suggesting that this is even remotely possible, but when a Deuce Vaughn type guy goes under-recruited, goes to a Kansas State, has a breakout year, and then says, I'm going to go play at Oklahoma. Like, when something like that happens, which I think it will eventually, how are we going to react to that? Is that going too far? Is that going to be where
we're go?
Sorry, go ahead.
We're going to overreact is what we're going to do, because it's not going to be the norm. For the most part, if you're successful at a Power 5 school, you're going to stay there, and you're going to go, probably you're going to be more likely to go take your chances in the draft than you are to go in the transfer portal. But are there going to be some that have a dream of playing at a blue blood program? Absolutely. And there's going to be some, but we will overreact. Coaches will overreact, and they'll say it's going to be the end of college football as we know it. And it's not, going to be. The idea of using the term free agency in the transfer portal as a pejorative is mind-boggling to me. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, especially we talked about Shadrick Banks at Texas A&M earlier. Guess what? It didn't work out. It wasn't a good fit for him. It didn't look like it was. And
if he
wants to bail, that's fine. Let him bail. He'll find a better fit, and he'll find somewhere that he feels that he has a better chance to play.
By the way, definitely could be TCU or Texas. We'll see how that one plays out.
Right. So, as a college football fan base, and even some of our colleagues in this industry, it was reported, we will overreact. It's going to be unfortunate if you're a Deuce Vaughn at K-State, who's a critical piece, that's a huge hit to that team. But yeah. I don't think it's going to be the norm. I think it's going to be the exception.
I think one thing that will be the norm, and it's kind of the going to be the untold story in all this, because people are so hesitant to go on the record about this stuff, is I think the tampering stuff is not – you put a little piece of paper out there saying this coach signs that no tampering occurred. No. There's so much of this going on. And honestly, if my boy Theo, when he's older, if he wants to go in the portal someday, as obviously a walk-on athlete, but if he wants to go in the portal someday, I would say, hey, you probably should make some calls and see where you can go before you do it. It's just common
Max
sense.
Max is going to be back doing all that back channel stuff.
I will. Yes, I will be I'll happily be the back man if it can enrich our family. But I remember talking with Charlie Brewer after Matt Rhule and those guys left at Baylor. And I said, I'm just curious, did anybody reach out to you? Did any, you know, through middlemen or whatever, reach out to you to see if you wanted to be a grad transfer somewhere? And he said, yeah, actually Georgia reached out to me. And he had just played Georgia. Okay, Georgia was out there looking. They get Jamie Newman, they get JT Daniels. These schools that have a need are going to kind of put feelers out through high school coaches, through you know, the contacts you have and stuff like that, to see, hey, would this person want to go somewhere? And so that might sound crazy, but that's how it goes. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but you know, when a kid goes in the portal and then 5 minutes later says, here's where I'm going, I think that team probably got a jump on it, you know, and probably had some contact. And that's gonna be how this goes. So that's part of the problem, is if Deuce Vaughn's got coaches in his DMs all the time saying, come play here, for some kids, they're going to take that as they're going to take that love, and they're going to say, ooh, maybe I should go there. Maybe I should get out of this situation and go somewhere where they really, really want me. And I think that's going to cause some problems.
There was a high profile quarterback transfer that went from Houston to Miami a couple years ago. And when he announced that he was redshirting and the news broke that he was going in the portal, but yet he wasn't in the portal, guess what? His phone was filled up with dozens of text messages from coaches around the country.
So you remember Derek King, the night of during the national championship game, announces he's going in the portal. Okay. He didn't actually officially go in the portal for like two more days, but everybody this is how it is, right? Everybody that night, Miami and Arkansas and everybody else, gets in line, even though the kid's not even in the portal yet, and says, we got to get him. And that's, to some degree, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I think the other piece of this that's troubling, and you talk about the overreaction to this, I think I was reading about Jameson Williams going from Ohio State to Alabama, and he got just a ton of hate online from online fans, as expected. This is a kid that was behind a bunch of first round picks there, decides to go somewhere else. Alabama offers him a spot. Why wouldn't you say yes to Alabama? But people will turn on you real quick, and especially online and on message boards and all that, and call you a traitor, and all your goodwill with that fan base can get burned in an instant if you make that kind of move. And so I hope people have some level of understanding about this. I know that that's pointless to say, because some people on Twitter and message boards are just going to do what they do anonymously and go crazy. But you guys know we're going to see a ton of that when some high profile kid makes a move like that, right?
Well, I mean, you look at what's going on right now with Mike Woods leaving Arkansas and going to Oklahoma. I mean, it's been
how's that going
over? Twitter disaster. Well, because for me, I follow and am followed by both Arkansas and Oklahoma fans. So I'm really seeing a lot of that. And Razorback Nation is not pleased right now, as you can imagine. Mike Woods is a really good player.
He is. And you know, it's like, it's one of those where as soon as you're not on the team anymore, then I'm sure there are people like, you know what? Mike Woods dropped a lot of passes, not a good route runner, can't stretch the field. Like, as soon as you're dead to them, they will say anything bad about you.
You know, Mike Woods is also interesting because, not to get us too far down a rabbit trail here, but Mike Woods is interesting because he has this whole side thing as a YouTuber. I don't know if you've seen this. He has like a YouTube channel. No. And so, you know, hey, everybody's got to do what they got to do, but he's built a brand for himself in Arkansas. We're about to have this NIL legislation, and I've heard some people at Arkansas who have thought, like, what is he thinking? Like, his NIL value.
Because he's burning his current followers.
Yeah, he's going to have to rebuild it. Now, if he goes to OU and has 1,000 yards, it'll all come back pretty quick. But if it doesn't, you know, so that's another thing these guys are going to have to think about as they move around.
Well, and are all of these YouTube guys going to transfer to UCLA and USC and places where they can potentially grow that stuff, right?
All I'll say is that fan is short for fanatic. Let's never forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's, I think that gets to the last point here, which is just, it is going to be interesting to see just how do we cover this? You know, how do we talk about these things, especially as the one-time transfer deal becomes the law of the land here? And Look, I think the thing that's just part of college football, just baked into it, freshman year is really hard. I mean, you know, for these kids, it just is, especially in 2020, to some degree still in 2021. Like, there's going to be kids that say, oh man, this is tougher than I thought. And there's gonna be a lot of those kids that say, I'm going to transfer. I'm going to go somewhere else. Maybe I got a better shot somewhere else. Maybe I need to transfer down. You know, maybe this staff isn't showing me as much love as they did in the recruiting process and all that. It's going to be interesting to see just how quick kids are you know, willing to pull the trigger and burn that one free transfer here over the next, you know, months, but certainly over the next few years.
I'll tell you what's fascinating to me in that regard is, and we've seen it down here in Texas as I've covered recruiting and Texas high school football. Yeah. You see guys move around high schools in Texas. Mm-hmm. So some, I know one prospect that's gone, he's going on his fourth high school in 4 years. That I think is where with kids who have that tendency, so to speak, I think that's where we're going to see the potential. Like you said, maybe they burn it right away after it doesn't work out. And then after this next place they end up, then it doesn't seem to be working out to their liking. And then they're looking to get in again. And at that point, you're looking for a waiver to play. But again, I think at the end of the day,
that's where this trickles down, right? Is that that behavior already starts in high school. And look, it's a hard balance strike because the whole bet on yourself thing can be right when it goes right. But some of these kids that the minute they're not happy, they want to make a change like that can really backfire on you too.
Yeah. I don't want to poo-poo the people who say that, because I think there is something to, perseverance and character building in that way. But at the same time, there is a difference between, you know, bailing at the first sign of a first bad practice and, hey, I've been here 6 months. Culturally, this program is not lined up. It's not what I thought it was. Because again, let's not forget, recruiting is selling. It's selling your program. You're telling them everything they want to hear. And when you get there, it may not be that way. And that's going to be the onus on these coaches to be upfront.
To be honest
with guys
in recruiting. Yeah.
To be honest. And it may have to adjust how we used to like to say de-recruit their guys in the first 6 months when they get on campus. It may have to change how they treat the guys and how they conduct themselves on campus when the players are there. Because again, we talk about it in the way that quarterback battles are managed. Guys are not naming starters out of spring anymore because you need them to stay on campus. And so coaches are going to have to adjust to that. And guess what? That's why they get the paid big bucks in order to do stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't have a ton of sympathy for like I've talked to coaches who are like, as soon as this thing turns into free agency, like I'm out of here. And I get that threat, but I mean, you got to deal with it. Okay. The NFL is not hiring that many folks a year, right? Like as you said, they're paid a ton of money to figure out how to navigate this new world.
Yeah. It's a challenge. And, I think over time it will become normal. We'll it's a couple of years from now, it won't be a big deal. And I think we'll still enjoy the sport just as we do today. It'll just be a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. It's well said, Sam. Well, guys, enjoyed this conversation. Great to see you guys. Great to talk about this topic that is going to continue to dominate just the entire conversation around the sport. So hope people check out the Transfer Portal Top 50 we put together and continue to follow your work. Appreciate everyone listening. Please subscribe to our show, One True Pod, on Apple or Spotify. Leave us a review and a good rating, and find our stories on The Athletic. If you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, you can sign up with our latest promotional offer at theathletic.com/onetruepod. You don't just get the best college football coverage, you get all of our sports coverage for that. So be sure to take advantage.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.